Welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Here are some of your headlines. Growing calls from Democrats, including the top two in Congress, for the immediate removal of President Donald Trump from office, either through the 25th Amendment to the Constitution or through impeachment. Both House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and incoming Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer signing on. Also, at least one House Republican, Adam Kinzinger, calling for invoking the 25th Amendment. This all comes after Wednesday's violent and deadly security breach at the U.S. Capitol by angry Donald Trump rioters upset with the Electoral College counting that certified Joe Biden's victory. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao resigning in protest to the president's actions contesting the election results and what happened yesterday at the U.S. Capitol. And House Appropriations Committee launching an investigation into why the U.S. Capitol Police were overrun. Facebook banning President Donald Trump for at least 2 weeks, possibly indefinitely. CEO Mark Zuckerberg writing, "The shocking events of the last 24 hours clearly demonstrate that President Donald Trump intends to use his remaining time in office to undermine the peaceful and lawful transition of power to his elected successor, Joe Biden." And President-elect Joe Biden nominating top Justice Department positions, including for Attorney General, Federal Judge Merrick Garland, best remembered as the unsuccessful Supreme Court nominee from President Barack Obama. President Donald Trump had no public events today. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer put out a statement Thursday reading, "What happened at the U.S. Capitol yesterday was an insurrection against the United States incited by the president. The president should not hold office 1 day longer." Senator Schumer followed up with a news conference in his home state of New York.
"The reprehensible acts yesterday were incited by the president of the United States. Yesterday's events would not have happened without him. If there were no President Trump, this would not have happened, plain and simple. The fish stinks from the head, plain and simple. And so I believe the president is dangerous and should not hold office 1 day longer. He may have only 13 days left as president, but yesterday demonstrated that each and every one of those days is a threat to democracy so long as he is in power. The quickest and most effective way to remove this president from office would be for the vice president to immediately invoke the 25th Amendment. The vice president can invoke the 25th Amendment today, and if the cabinet votes, he's gone. They should do it now. If the vice president and the cabinet refuse to stand up, Congress should reconvene to impeach the president. Plain and simple. We don't need a lengthy debate. The president's abuse of power, his incitement of a mob against a duly elected representative body of the United States is a manifestly impeachable offense. If there ever was an impeachable offense, what the president did was it. And if you don't think he won't spend his days out of office promoting conspiracies, stoking grievances, and doing more of the same, you're kidding yourselves. If you think he won't promote the idea of him running again 4 years from now to motivate his supporters, you're kidding yourselves. And in impeachment, there's a charge that allows the Congress to say he can never run for office again. That should be invoked as well."
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer in New York City. Senator also saying that he and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tried to telephone Vice President Mike Pence today to talk about this, but were put on hold by the White House for a time and then told the vice president was not available. On Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., House Speaker Nancy Pelosi backing this effort.
"Yesterday, the president of the United States incited an armed insurrection against America. The gleeful desecration of the U.S. Capitol, which is the temple of our American democracy, and the violence targeting Congress are horrors that will forever stain our nation's history. instigated by the President of the United States. That's why it's such a stain. In calling for this seditious act, the President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this President by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the Vice President and the Cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment. That is the overwhelming sentiment of my caucus. And the American people, by the way.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the 25th Amendment to the Constitution says that if the Vice President and either a majority of the Executive Cabinet or a review body appointed by Congress declares in writing that the President is unfit for office, then the Vice President immediately becomes the acting President. But the President can challenge that assertion in Congress. And for the Vice President to assume the powers of the presidency permanently, two-thirds of both the House of Representatives and Senate must vote in favor of that outcome. As mentioned at the top of this program, mostly Democrats so far calling for invoking this 25th Amendment or impeachment, removing the president immediately. But Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, a Republican, a frequent critic of President Trump, also posted a video supporting this today.
Yesterday was a sad day, as we all know. It was the day where fire stoked by the president and other leaders finally leapt out of the pit, and it lit the trees. Thankfully, the strength of our Constitution and democracy held, and we emerged today a little battered, but resolved. What happened yesterday is a wake-up call to many, but it's a call to accountability for others. In the past few presidencies, the administrations have been so concerned about even a moment of weakness that the 25th Amendment was invoked during minor surgeries, passing the duties to the vice president while the president was under anesthesia, because even for that moment to have the captain of the ship absent could cause a major catastrophe. Sadly, yesterday, it became evident that not only has the president abdicated his duty to protect the American people and the people's house, he invoked and inflamed passions that only gave fuel to the insurrection that we saw here. When pressed to move and denounce the violence, he barely did so, while of course victimizing himself and seeming to give a wink and a nod to those doing it. All indications are that the president has become unmoored, not just from his duty, nor even his oath, but from reality itself. It is for this reason that I call for the vice president and members of the cabinet to ensure the next few weeks are safe for the American people, and that we have a sane captain of the ship. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit, and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily. God bless you, and God bless our enduring democracy.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger in a posted video. He is a Republican. At least two Republican state governors also calling for invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the president immediately, Larry Hogan of Maryland, Phil Scott of Vermont. Republican U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham gave an impassioned speech during the counting of the electoral votes late Wednesday night, opposing Republican attempts to challenge Joe Biden's victory. Today, in a news conference on Capitol Hill, he condemned the mob that attacked the Capitol, but said he does not support removing the president with the 25th Amendment.
Like Senator McConnell, I supported President Trump. I've become close to the president personally. I think his president has been consequential from a conservative point of view. It has been an amazing 4 years in terms of judges, securing the border, a vaccine in record time, deregulating the economy, cutting taxes, historic Mideast peace agreements, the destruction of the caliphate, on and on and on, was tarnished by yesterday. When it comes to accountability, the president needs to understand that his actions were the problem, not the solution. That the rally yesterday was unseemly, it got out of hand, and a good friend of mine, Rudy Giuliani, did not help. I said on the floor of the Senate, I cast my vote accordingly, that Joe Biden is the legitimate president-elect of the United States. Are there irregularities in this election? Yes, I'm sure they are. Have they been overblown? Absolutely. There's been a constant effort by people from the president's legal team to provide misinformation, to distort the facts, to make accusations that cannot be proven. That needs to stop. As to the 25th Amendment being invoked, I do not believe that's appropriate at this point. I'm looking for a peaceful transfer of power. I'm looking for the next 14 days to reset. And we will hand off power in a traditional sense by being a peaceful transfer. I talked to Mark Meadows this morning. The transition is going well. It is fully in place. I talked to the president's legal counsel, Pat Cipollone. He is doing everything he can to help the transfer occur.
Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican on Capitol Hill. Some other reaction today, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao resigning, her statement reading in part, "Yesterday our country experienced a traumatic and entirely avoidable event as supporters of the president stormed the Capitol building following a rally he addressed. As I'm sure is the case with many of you, it has deeply troubled me in a way that I simply cannot set aside." Elaine Chao is married to the Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf put out a statement saying, "We now see some supporters of the president using violence as a means to achieve political ends." Calling that unacceptable, Chad Wolf calling on the president to denounce that. Today, President Trump officially notified Congress he is withdrawing Wolf's nomination to be Secretary of Homeland Security. But the White House says the withdrawal actually happened Wednesday, not related to Wolf's statement. And the top federal prosecutor in Washington, U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin, specifically not ruling out charging President Trump in connection with inciting a riot. Sherwin saying today anyone who had a role and where the evidence fits is a crime. The House Appropriations Committee has begun an investigation into the law enforcement response to the Capitol security breach. Democrat Tim Ryan chairs the legislative branch subcommittee, which funds the Capitol Police.
I'm livid about the whole thing because I had conversations with the sergeant at arms and the chief of the Capitol Police and assurances that every precaution was being taken, that we had enough manpower, that we were going to keep people completely away from the Capitol. That's what I really went off yesterday, because we were told no one was going to be anywhere close to the Capitol in the protests. And next thing you know, you turn on the TV and they're swinging from the Capitol building with flags and putting a lot of people's lives in danger. There's 50 or 60 cops that ended up getting hurt. There's 15 in the hospital right now, one in critical condition. The rank and file did everything they could, but for us not to have a expeditious plan to provide reinforcements, the breach happened after about an hour and 15 minutes of the Capitol Police being able to hold off the mob. I mean, these guys were hitting the Capitol Police in the head with lead pipes. A number of the injuries are head injuries, and so to not have backup there immediately from the National Guard, from other law enforcement to over an hour and 15 minutes. And what we're really digging in now is around how long it took the National Guard to actually get there and why there weren't significant reinforcements able to come support the Capitol Police, because those rank and file members were put at great risk being out there by themselves. And again, you know, that was a strategic blunder and put a lot of lives in danger and a lot of members of Congress in danger. So we're going to dig deep and to find out exactly what happened.
Congressman Tim Ryan, a Democrat and chair of the Legislative Branch Appropriations Subcommittee, on a video conference with reporters today. The Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell issuing a statement that reads, "Yesterday represented a massive failure of institutions, protocols, and planning that are supposed to protect the first branch of our federal government. A painstaking investigation and thorough review must now take place, and significant changes must follow. Initial bipartisan discussions have already begun among committees of oversight and congressional leadership. Senator McConnell is the current majority leader, but will become minority leader once the two newly elected Democratic senators from Georgia are sworn in. Back to Senator Chuck Schumer, who is the incoming majority leader today. He says that he plans to fire the Senate Sergeant at Arms.
It was appalling how ill-prepared the Congress was for these attacks, which were known about in advance. I will dismiss the Sergeant at Arms the day I become majority leader, January 21st, if McConnell, who appointed him, doesn't get rid of him sooner. He must go. He did a terrible, terrible job. The men and women of the Capitol Hill Police, they're fine people, but they had no leadership, no preparation. Everyone knew this would happen. The Sergeant at Arms has been derelict in his duty. He doesn't deserve to be in office. Again, he was appointed by Mitch McConnell because McConnell is majority leader. If McConnell doesn't get rid of him, I will the first day that I become majority leader, January 21st.
Senator Chuck Schumer. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked whether she planned to take action against the House Sergeant at Arms.
Chuck Schumer is talking about firing the Sergeant at Arms over there. Are you thinking of a similar step over here? What are you going to do to address the security breaches on the Capitol?
Well, let me just say that that is a very important question. Let me hold for a moment because it is not, we have to do the after action review. I am calling for the resignation of the Chief of the Capitol Police, Mr. Sund, and I have received notice from Mr. Irving that he will be submitting his resignation. Having said that, we have the after-action review, but it goes beyond the Capitol Police. It goes to the FBI. What was the shortcoming in their intelligence that they provided? It goes to the Department of Defense. How long did it take for them to respond or anticipate the need for the National Guard? It goes to many other elements of the executive branch. And I think we have to have the full review. But from the standpoint of, well, let me just say this. Many of our Capitol Police just acted so bravely and so with such concern for the staff, for the members, for the Capitol of the United States. Many of them, and they deserve our gratitude. But there was a failure of leadership at the top of the Capitol Police, and I think Mr. Sund, he hasn't even called us since this happened. So I had made aware that I would be saying that we're calling for his resignation.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund says an employee responsible for fatally shooting a rioter outside the U.S. House chamber has been placed on administrative leave and is under investigation. The woman who was shot and killed has been identified as 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt of California. The Metropolitan Police of Washington, D.C. also responded and assisted at the Capitol complex on Wednesday. And today, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said what happened was obviously a failure, or you wouldn't have had police lines breached and people terrorizing Congress. She also said immediate reforms are needed.
First, we must get statehood on the president's desk within the first 100 days of the 117th Congress. Congress must immediately transfer command of the District of Columbia National Guard from the President of the United States and put it squarely under the command and control of the Mayor of the District of Columbia. The Congress must create a nonpartisan commission to understand the catastrophic security failures that happened at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, both to hold people accountable and to ensure that it never happens again. We must also understand why the federal law enforcement response was much stronger at the protest over the summer than during yesterday's attack on Congress. I also call on the Joint Terrorism Task Force to investigate, arrest, and prosecute any individual who entered the Capitol, destroyed property, or incited acts of domestic terrorism observed yesterday. More immediately, we know that the current president must be held accountable for this unprecedented attack on our democracy. What happened yesterday is what he wanted to happen, and we must not underestimate the damage he can do to our nation and our democracy over the next 2 weeks. And it's not just the president who must be held accountable, so too must the domestic terrorists who stormed the Capitol and threatened members of Congress. What happened yesterday is textbook terrorism. And let me read you a definition. It's from the Federal Code of Regulations. It's defined as the unlawful use of force and violence against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. The FBI has already set up a website where Americans can report tips, and today MPD is releasing its own lookout information. Any tips that are reported to MPD will also be shared with the FBI. So I encourage Washingtonians who can provide information to do so by texting 50411, 50411, or by calling 202-727-9099.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser at a news conference today. The acting U.S. Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen promises that those who ransacked the Capitol building will be caught and prosecuted. His statement reads, Department of Justice is committed to ensuring that those responsible for this attack on our government and the rule of law face the full consequences of their actions under the law. As mentioned, President Donald Trump has no public events today, but the White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany did make a statement in the White House briefing room.
I am here to deliver this message on behalf of the entire White House. Let me be clear. The violence we saw yesterday at our nation's capital was appalling, reprehensible, and antithetical to the American way. We condemn it, the president and this administration, in the strongest possible terms. It is unacceptable, and those that broke the law should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I stood here at this podium the day after a historic church burned amid violent riots, and I said this: the First Amendment guarantees the right of the people to peaceably assemble. What we saw last night in Washington and across the country was not that, end quote. Make no mistake, what we saw yesterday afternoon in the halls of our Capitol likewise was not that. We grieve for the loss of life and those injured, and we hold them in our prayers and close to our hearts at this time. We thank our valiant law enforcement officers who are true American heroes. What we saw yesterday was a group of violent rioters undermining the legitimate First Amendment rights of the many thousands who came to peacefully have their voices heard in our nation's capital. Those who violently besieged our capital are the opposite of everything this administration stands for. The core value of our administration is the idea that all citizens have the right to live in safety, peace, and freedom. Those who are working in this building are working to ensure an orderly transition of power. Now it is time for America to unite, to come together, to reject the violence that we have seen. We are one American people under God. Thank you very much.
In the White House briefing room late Thursday afternoon, Kayleigh McEnany is the White House press secretary. 2-minute statement, taking no reporters' questions. A story at CNN begins as hundreds of supporters of President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol, breaking windows and wreaking havoc. Politicians and activists were among the many who drew comparisons between the police response on Wednesday to that of last year's Black Lives Matter protests. In many cities, including the nation's capital, police met protesters with tear gas, violence, and arrests. Both President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris mentioned this today. Here is Kamala Harris.
What we saw yesterday in our nation's capital was, as the president-elect has called it, an assault on the rule of law. And it has no place in our democracy. So I believe we must ask ourselves two questions about what happened yesterday. What went wrong? And how do we make it right? And I believe the answers require us to recognize that the challenge we're facing in our country is about more than the actions of the few we watched yesterday. It's about how to reform, how to transform a justice system that does not work equally for all. A justice system that is experienced differently depending on whether you're white or black. A justice system that is experienced differently if you're rich or poor. A justice system that's different depending on whether your job requires you to take a shower before you go to work or requires you to take a shower when you come home after work. We witnessed two systems of justice. When we saw one that let extremists storm the United States Capitol, and another that released tear gas on peaceful protesters last summer. The American people have expressed brightly outrage. We know this is unacceptable. We know we should be better than this. The promise of our country is that all people will be treated equally. That's what the rule of law is supposed to be about. That's what the ideal of equal justice under law is all about.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. She joined President-elect Joe Biden in Wilmington, Delaware today as the unveiling of the new administration's top Justice Department nominees. More on that when Washington Today continues in a minute. And welcome back to Washington Today. It was well past 3 a.m. Eastern Time Thursday morning before the joint session of Congress counting the electoral ballots finished. That followed the long delay from the security breach of the U.S. Capitol building and then multiple hours of debate on Republican challenges to some state vote certifications. All were unsuccessful. In the end, Vice President Mike Pence, presiding over the joint session, announced the winners.
The whole number of electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes. The whole number of electors appointed to vote for Vice President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for Vice President of the United States are as follows. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 306 votes. Michael R. Pence of the state of Indiana has received 232 votes. The announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2021, and shall be entered together with the list of the votes on the journals of the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Vice President Mike Pence in the early morning hours Thursday in the U.S. House chamber in Washington, presiding, as the Constitution requires, over the joint session of Congress to count the electoral votes. If you want to see any of the debate in the joint session or separately in the House and Senate chambers as they were meeting, talking about the challenges to the vote certifications in certain states, it's all archived at cspan.org/Congress. President Donald Trump issuing a statement after that vote announcement saying that he disagreed with the outcome but promised an orderly transition on January 20th. President-elect Joe Biden today naming several Justice Department nominees, including Attorney General.
So as we stand here today, we do so in the wake of yesterday's events. Events that could not more have vividly demonstrated some of the most important work we have to do in this nation. Committing ourselves to the rule of law in this nation. Invigorating our domestic and democratic institutions. Carrying out equal justice under the law in America. There is no more important place for us to do this work than the Department of Justice. Has been so politicized. There's no more important people to carry out this work than the people I'm announcing today. More than anything, we need to restore the honor, the integrity, the independence of the Department of Justice in this nation that has been so badly damaged. And so many former leaders of that department and both parties have so testified and stated that. I want to be clear to those who lead this department who you will serve. You won't work for me. You are not the president or the vice president's lawyer. Your loyalty is not to me. It's to the law, the Constitution. The people of this nation to guarantee justice. For Attorney General of the United States, I nominate a man of impeccable integrity, Judge Merrick Garland, one of the most respected jurists of our time, brilliant yet humble, distinguished yet modest, full of character and decency.
President-elect Joe Biden. And he was followed by nominee Merrick Garland, who for the past two decades has been a federal judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, and probably best remembered as President Barack Obama's Supreme Court nominee after the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, Merrick Garland never getting a vote in the U.S. Senate.
As everyone who watched yesterday's events in Washington now understands, if they did not understand before, the rule of law is not just some lawyer's turn of phrase. It is the very foundation of our democracy. The essence of the rule of law is that like cases are treated alike, that there not be one rule for Democrats and another for Republicans, one rule for friends, another for foes, one rule for the powerful, another for the powerless, one rule for the rich, and another for the poor, or different rules depending upon one's race or ethnicity. And the essence of its great corollary, equal justice under law, is that all citizens are protected in the exercise of their civil rights. Those ideals have animated the Department of Justice since the very moment of its inception. As President-elect Biden just recounted, the department was founded in the midst of Reconstruction following the Civil War, with its first principal task to ensure compliance with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. As historian Ron Chernow wrote, quote, "The new Justice Department would forge its identity in the battle to slay the first incarnation of the Ku Klux Klan and its offshoots. In that battle, the department successfully deployed its considerable resources to ensure civil rights, which were under militant attack. These principles, ensuring the rule of law and making the promise of equal justice under law real, are the great principles upon which the Department of Justice was founded and for which it must always stand. They echo today in the priorities that lie before us, from ensuring racial equity in our justice system to meeting the evolving threat of violent extremism. If confirmed, those are the principles to which I will be devoted as Attorney General.
Nominee Merrick Garland with President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris in Wilmington, Delaware. The other nominees announced today include Lisa Monaco for Deputy Attorney General, Vanita Gupta for Associate Attorney General, both served in the Obama administration, and Christian Clark for Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division. She once worked as a trial attorney in that division and is currently president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law. Fox News is reporting that President-elect Biden expected to nominate Boston Mayor Marty Walsh as Labor Secretary and Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo as Commerce Secretary. And finally, an update on the coronavirus pandemic from the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Today, he spoke to scientists and students at the University of Washington Medical School in Missouri.
One of the issues of having been really gripped by this now for 11 months to almost a year is that the numbers are so extraordinary that we've become numbed to them. As of yesterday, there are 360,000 deaths. We have had a situation where we now are averaging between 200 and 300,000 new infections per day and between 2 and 3,000 deaths per day. Every day is a new record for the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19, 138,000 as of yesterday. There are some regions of the country that are really getting to the point of what we consider the unimaginable, where you'll actually have to triage and determine who is going to get taken care of and who is not. I refer specifically to the very difficult situation that's going on in California, particularly in LA County, where they are running out of beds and they have an exhausted staff working almost 24 hours a day. This is truly an extraordinary situation. We expect it to get a bit worse as we get into the middle and end weeks of January because of the fact that after every single event that would bring people together in travel, be it the 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and now the Christmas holidays, there's always a surge as people travel and congregate in social setting. So the numbers that I gave you are very, very difficult to comprehend. They are extraordinary, and yet things could actually get a bit worse. On the other side of the coin, there is light at the end of the tunnel with regard to vaccinations. As you know, another record, we've made records, very, very difficult records with regard to illness and death, but we also have a record with regard to vaccine accomplishments. You might recall that the sequence of the virus was put on a public database on January the 9th. And in less than a year, in 11 months, we went from a sequence to actually having vaccines in the arms of individuals. Vaccines that are not just any vaccine, but a vaccine that's 94 to 95% efficacious with a very good safety record. The challenge now, and we can get into that in the questions, is to get the vaccine out and implemented in an efficient way so that we can get the overwhelming majority of our population vaccinated within a several month period, which will be the real gateway to the end of this terrible outbreak and would get us back to normal.
Dr. Anthony Fauci directs the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases earlier today. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 221. NASDAQ was up 326, closing above 13,000 for the first time. S&P up 55. Labor Department says the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell slightly last week to 787,000. The December jobs report comes out on Friday. And the Justice Department says that Boeing has agreed to pay more than $2.5 billion to resolve criminal charges stemming from those deadly crashes of their 737 MAX jet planes. Thanks for joining us on Washington Today, available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And remember to download the free C-SPAN Radio app to listen anywhere. I hope you have a very good night.